Looking to the gospel reading, Simon Peter answered Jesus, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I am concluding my homily series on how Holy Mass forms a holy people. It has been based on the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. And integral to our growth as Catholics is to continue to make the proper connection between the celebration of the sacred liturgy and the conduct of our sacred lives. In this Sunday's reading, there is a decisive moment between the Lord Jesus and his disciples, who were among the multitude that had gathered. They were there, the whole multitude, as a response to the great miracle, the Lord feeding tens of thousands of people from an initial intake of 5 loaves and 2 fish. This decisive moment also becomes a devastating moment. It also serves as a decisive and defining moment. These readings have given us the opportunity to review what Catholics believe about the sacrament of the Eucharist. Engaging in familiar rituals can lull some people into complacency. Remembering the great significance of what God in Christ is doing here will cure that or prevent that from happening. Worship is not about us. It is about offering praise, thanksgiving, and glory to God. Worship is a loving response to the command of the Lord Jesus for us to participate in his one and eternal sacrifice, which is eternally present to God and is made present in this time and space. Let me emphasize again, during every Holy Mass, the power of the Holy Spirit and the words of Christ offered by the priest or bishop, the Lord Jesus himself transforms the bread and the wine into his body and blood, soul and divinity. We can never thank God for so great a gift, the gift of himself. We're being nourished by his very life and love. And yet there are some Catholics who do not believe that Christ can do that through his church. During a survey conducted by the Pew Research Center in 2019, only 1/3 of self-described Catholics surveyed believed this teaching. About 60% said that the sacrament was merely symbolic. It echoed previous surveys, and it cut across the generations, so no one should conclude that this is the result of the Second Vatican Council. The sacraments accomplish what they signify because they were instituted by Christ, who has all power, and entrusted it to his church. Our fruitful participation in sacramental celebrations depend upon our awareness of what Christ wants to do in our lives in the sacrament. And then we cooperate with God and allow him to accomplish it in our lives. The encounter with Christ in his sacraments is a reflection of the relationship of love and trust that we have in Christ. However, in the gospel reading, many of Jesus' disciples revealed that they could not trust him. Jesus had said earlier that if we eat his blood and drink his blood, we will have eternal life. And in the original languages, he is clear that he's not talking about symbolically. He uses the word for gnawing, so no one could make a mistake about what he was talking about. But the response of many of his disciples was, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" They were willing to follow Jesus when it was convenient for them. When Jesus asked them for a total commitment to live in union with him, they wanted no part of it. And as a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. The gospel reading is not talking about anybody in the multitude, for in the multitude there were disciples. There were people who maybe have been thinking about following Jesus. There were us who just wanted to see more fish and loaves of the bread. But it says many of his disciples, those who were following him before the miracle happened, decided to forsake their Christian discipleship. This decisive moment became a devastating moment. Jesus had been totally rejected by many of his disciples. Jesus shares our human condition in all things but sin. And certainly, he had the same feelings that we would have if there had been people who claimed to be our friends, but only to discover that they were friends only because of what we could do for them. And when they were no longer satisfied, they discarded us. And so Jesus then said to the 12 apostles, "Do you also want to leave?" While this decisive moment became a devastating one, it also became a defining moment for those disciples who chose to remain with Jesus. As Peter heard the footsteps of those who were abandoning Christ, he said, "Master," or "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Those who remained with Jesus were convinced in what he revealed about his identity, his purpose, and his power. God gives us the gift of faith to enable us to live according to what he teaches through his church. And if we cooperate with God, our faith cannot be shaken by the mentality of former disciples who have denied who Jesus is and what Jesus can do. When those former disciples left Jesus, they essentially no longer called Jesus Lord. They called him a liar. He could not do what he said he could do. And yet Peter and the others who remained had the conviction that Jesus is who he says that he is and that he can do what he says he can do. And Jesus calls us to reach out to those who have drifted away or decisively left and invite them to come back, sharing with them that we trust in what Jesus can do because we trust in who Jesus is. It doesn't mean our faith is perfect. Sometimes we may deal with doubts about any aspect of our faith. Maybe it is not the Eucharist. Maybe it's another saying of Jesus in which we are tempted to conclude, this is a hard saying. Who could ever follow it? And you have people in the world and some fellow disciples who want to egg you on and say it and give up. But the way to address these doubts is to continue to accept who Jesus is and trust that if he commands us to do something, he will give us the capacity to do it. He says, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. In any circumstance that you face, I am here totally loving you, being with you, nurturing you, helping you, strengthening you. Unfortunately, when Jesus said that to the disciples gathered in the gospel reading, many of them said, I don't believe you. But thanks be to God, we have tasted and seen the goodness of the Lord, which the psalmist means not a sensory experience on the tongue, but a lifetime experience that through the different circumstances of life, we have known and experienced that God is good. And that is why we've made the conclusion. We accept who Jesus is and how Jesus has chosen to present himself to us, including the gifts of his church and his sacrament. Did Peter understand everything that the Lord was teaching at that time? Probably not. But I'm sure it became clearer as he worked through it during the passion and death of the Lord, even though he had denied the Lord three times at that point. It became even clearer after the resurrection of the Lord from the dead, in which Peter reconciled himself to the Lord. Moreover, the Lord reconciled Peter back to himself. But Peter was willing, at the point of the gospel reading, to say, Jesus, I believe you. I believe in what you can do, even though I don't see it right now. I know who you are. I've been with you all this time. I value the gift of eternal life that you provide. There is nowhere else I'd rather be. This is the conviction that we need. It's why we come to Holy Mass. Yes, we have the Sunday obligation, because it states what every disciple should want to do if they are able to do it. To thank God in Christ for all that he is doing, including the gift of salvation. I shake my head at times. Jesus died on the cross, and he was on that cross before he died for 3 hours. And some Catholics get upset when they have to thank God past the 60th minute. But when we remember what God in Christ is doing here, and if we are coming with a loving response to the Lord, we do not calculate our commitment, even looking at the time on our phone or our watches. Holy Mass forms a holy people because we are reminded of the total and unwavering commitment of our God to love us. And as he nourishes us with his very life, we come with our strengths and our weaknesses, and we cooperate with our God, and we strive to offer ourselves wholeheartedly to God. There is nothing else we would rather do.